There's the odd Billy Joel. It's the number two song in KB Country with Miss Bobby Gentry. Good looking Bobby Gentry, I should say.
KLIF trucking through traffic at a 524 mark. Michael Pinder, Graham Edge, Justin Hayward, John Lodge, and Ray Thomas, who I understand are coming back sometime after the first of the year. Moody Blues, it's 87.
KNOW, with more summer fun than anyone.
89 WLS.
Welcome to episode number 10 of Radio What Happened. I'm Terry Bettis. Nice to have you, along with myself and my co-host, Jim Christofferson.
Episode 10. Boy, very nice to be in double digits, isn't it? We've lined up a great program for today. We've got one very exciting interview to tell us what's happening in current radio, and again, some interesting things to listen to.
That's right. And next week, we just want to give you a little bit of a preview. We'll go back to our interview with the legendary Bobby Ocean, and we'll give you another couple of his air checks and some production samples. Had a lot of good response from our interview with the icon of Boss Radio, Bobby Ocean.
As he said last week, He always said that little William Shatner type pause and some of the things he was doing. And of course, as we've discussed with him and you and I have discussed for the last 10 weeks, if radio does anything well, it's responding to a catastrophic event, providing an unending stream of news, weather, information, and yes, even in these very somber times, entertainment. And they do it to millions of listeners 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, how has COVID-19 affected today's radio? Well, our guest today will explain that.
But before that, let's get to our commercial announcer to give us today's sponsor. Here's Gary.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Moonshine Light, the new low-calorie illegal whiskey for people who are looking for an easy way to lose excess pounds and their livers.
That guy, he's crazy. Moonshine Light. I've done all this work for you, and all you can give me is Moonshine Light?
That's right. Funny. You know, in radio, you'll appreciate this. We do a lot of trade in radio, and so part of the Moonshine Light could be some cases of product back in the transmitter office.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, radio and trade. Boy, that's a great way to go out of business. All right. Let's get to our first interview. Thank you, Terry. The purpose of this program is to discuss radio and how it's changed over nearly 100 years. As mentioned before, commercial radio started in November of 1920, so we'll be celebrating 100 years in about 8 months. Now, we'll be talking about what happened to radio with our guests, but we'll also be talking about radio today, right up to this minute, as radio covers the worldwide coronavirus pandemic. But first, let me introduce today's guest. He's a brilliant radio programmer, and as with many of our guests, he is a second-generation radio guy. His dad was actually a DJ on the legendary Louisiana Hayride, and his brother is a longtime successful programmer for iHeartMedia. Both he and his brother started in radio at 13 and 14 years of age. He's also a very dear friend and someone with whom I had the great pleasure of working side by side with in an 8-station cluster in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he remains today. Ladies and gentlemen, my dear friend, Chris Abrams. Chris, welcome to the show.
Very kind of you, Jim. It's good to be here. Terry, it is good to meet you. I love to talk to passionate radio people about radio. So
yeah, well, we're hoping that maybe you can find an old air check of your dad on the Louisiana Hayride.
Then dad was on the Hayride right after Elvis was on it. He got there in late 59, had a great run, went from doing that to then going to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and did a dance party show when Dick Clark was doing Bandstand in Philly and Kirby Confer was doing Baltimore. My dad was doing the Harrisburg dance party show, and that led into, you know, doing television news. And at one point in time, my father then got into politics and was a lobbyist in the Nixon administration. There's a lot in the Abrams family, but it all centers around radio.
Isn't it interesting that as big as this industry is, it is so small?
It's about one degree of separation. And I was going back and listening to some past episodes you guys have done with some incredible guests. It's funny when you look at that one degree of separation, a guy like Dick Biondi, There's a gentleman that I worked with here called named Joe Biondi, who is Dick's nephew. And you just kind of make these connections, all the different shows you've had and all the different people. We could play this game for a long time, as up to the one degree of separation between the three of us of almost anybody. But you've had some great people on the show, and from what I've talked to Jim about names you've got coming up, I'm honored to be part of that collective.
Oh, well, we're honored to have you. Before we jump into what's happening to radio now and your analysis of maybe what's going to happen in the future, if anybody can predict anything in this day and age, let's just talk a little bit about Chris Abrams. I know you're a heck of a negotiator. Boy, you sure negotiated a good paycheck for me when we hired you out there in Albuquerque. But we hired you because of your skill set. Let's talk about your background in radio, please.
Yeah, I was, I was raised around radio stations. I ruined 4 years of college by trying to say my first full-time job will be in 2 years, 4 months and 17 days. Got lucky, got into Virginia Beach early, worked in some great markets. I've worked Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Phoenix, Jacksonville, Florida, Albuquerque three times, because what it comes down to is lifestyle. And this is just a place that I love to live. So I'm able to take radio stations now that I've been involved with really 10 of the last 20 years. And continue to work with them and moving it forward, and some great brands that with this cluster on the talk side with KKOB and the music side with all of ours from KRST in the country world to Magic in the AC world,
and the FMs are all, the towers are all on the San Diego Mountain.
All on top of it. It's the second highest broadcast location in the continental United States. It's just shy of 11,000 feet above sea level. They are When this cluster was built, Larry Wilson and Citadel, like buying and trading baseball cards, they found the best FM signals on top of the mountain. There's only 9 up on top of the hill. We own 5 of them. And then when you look at the AM signals, they found the 2 best AM signals within the market. So it truly is a dream. It's a fantasy cluster of the best signals. And to be honest, when you piece together lifestyles and look at consumer needs, really the big box brands that you would want to have to build a fantastic cluster. So we're very blessed with that.
Well, we do want to talk more about your background, because it's germane to the topic of radio, what happened. But the elephant in the room, obviously, is COVID-19. I've always said that radio shines. Unfortunately, radio shines in a catastrophic event.
I just had a Zoom session with my staff earlier today and made this statement, which I stole off somebody else, but it's true. It is probably the greatest time ever to be a radio talent, because at this particular point, everyone is in the same headspace. We normally try to, look at where our listener might be, and we, make a target listener profile, and they're sitting at their cubicle. I mean, we know everybody's in the same headspace. They're working from home, or if they are the essential people on the front line, they're still out there. But it really is, there's never been a better time for a true radio communicator to talk with people, not Adam, not talking up a 17-second jingle ramping into post, but talking with people about what's going on in our lives. And we've loosened our FMs up significantly, our music stations. I've got people doing shows from the living room, and having the beauty to be able to talk with that and say, hey, I'm broadcasting from my second bedroom. Just like you're working at home, I'm working at home.
How have you changed your philosophy for your stations during this pandemic?
Because I've tried to de-radio them a little bit and just let them be people. The ultimate piece is when you have a jock who's, Johnny Cadillac on the air, but he's John Smith in real life. I need more John Smith right now. I need a little less Johnny Cadillac. None of us got into this business to play 10 in a row. We got into this business to talk to people and connect with people. If I had an air staff that I had to hide behind 10 in a row because they couldn't do anything else, I'd be scared to death right now.
I wouldn't ask you to give any specifics for your cluster, but you obviously have an in with a lot of different radio stations around not only Albuquerque, but the country. How big a hit are they taking right now, revenue-wise?
The hit is substantial. The hit is not only money pulled from the marketplace, but some of the bigger players being very conservative as of to when their business will regain its normal mode. And how much do they want to advertise when they're in a limited mode? Luckily, though, what we're seeing, the first release of PPM numbers today, is that radio's kept over 90% of its AQH. Radio's kept over 97% of its reach. That's from the first set of PPM numbers that have come in. And that varies format to format. AC has been hit hard. Obviously, it's an at-work format. Religious AC stations have done well. Obviously, talk stations have done well. Actually, sports is up almost a full percentage point. I think sports has done a fantastic job at these different fantasy pairings and this and that, and taking things that fit the sports world and piecing that into the formula.
Yeah.
I think others can take a page out of it. For example, my AC station right now with Magic is playing Christmas songs once or twice an hour, because it came up out of a morning show bit where someone said, hey, you know, it'd be great if we could have that holiday vibe. So we're playing, it's Frosty, it's Rudolph. It's certainly nothing of a religious nature, but it's an escape.
Our whole show is about what's happened over the last 50, 60 years in radio. What do you see overall, not your stations,
right,
overall to the industry? What have been the changes in the radio industry over, you know, since the 60s and 70s?
It's evolved. It's a short attention span world. I think programming represents that now differently. We had a wonderful theater of the mind with radio when you look at the kind of things that Bobby Ocean did on your last show, or different things coming up. There was a lot more liberty, a lot more playroom. One of my very good friends is a guy named Jack Armstrong, who was, you know, a bunch of great stations in the 60s and 70s. And Jack used to tell me stories, KFRC with Bobby and different things. He did nights at Wixie 1260 in 1963, just before the Beatles hit. In fact, it brought the Beatles on stage in Cleveland. And every night, the police had to come to the radio station to get Jack from the radio station to his car. You know, that was primetime TV. Or those screaming kids that wanted to meet Jack in 1963 never talked to Jack Armstrong, never saw him on a Zoom session from his house after he did his air shift. If you look at the accessibility of what people have now to connect with radio talent, it's a vibrant time to be there.
It's interesting you say that. Is it actually happening?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've got Zoom sessions going on with talent and different things that are so casual and so one-on-one. You know, you'd be stunned just to show you the world we live in. Somebody sends something on Facebook when Juan Velasco, my afternoon guy on KRST, writes back to them. The response most of the time is, that's amazing. I never thought anyone would get back to me, let alone you, Juan. And that leads to, Jim, I know you and I have talked about this. Radio is at the spot of a very interesting piece of, think about when we can get any station brand from the one we grew up listening to when we were a kid in Philadelphia to now on our dashboard in our car as easily as we can any local radio station. You know, we can start to make pretty specific content. Albuquerque is an east side, west side city split by the Rio Grande. I would love to take traffic and based on the IP address they're listening to the stream, give them traffic for the east side, because that's all they care about. They don't care if it's an accident on the west side on Coors. I think if we continue to be smart and say technology can support this big tent that is radio, then there can be good days ahead. And the great thing about that from an advertising side is we're now reaching a very specialized piece. I'm building a digital folder on every listener I have. So I can produce results without even having to talk on the radio. I've said many times that on the radio is like standing on your doorstep and yelling to your neighborhood. It's great, but it doesn't directly connect with anybody. But when you start to look at very specialized things, small groups of people can deliver very big results, that when I can target things based on knowing what they like and how they've interacted with my station, I can get a small group of people to do some amazing things, whether that's going to a store and buying products or going to a partner's website or different things. We can produce results, very trackable results. I don't necessarily need Nielsen to put out books for the rest of the year, because I'm able to look at my sponsors and tell them who showed up at their appearance, because I have codes that they entered on my app and different ways I can track them. That we're getting into a business now where radio's very specified, very targeted, and I think with our partners and our clients, very trackable as to who we can show them has interacted with the brand, and let that carry on more than just a spot on the radio.
We have so many topics that we would like to cover. We probably, just like with Bobby, we probably won't get it all in. But you mentioned talent, and you talked about that. Jim and I both went to a radio school in Dallas. Some people kind of scoff at the old radio schools. It was perfect for me. How does the new guy today, where's the training ground? Where's the farm system to develop talent?
We're in a spot with that. It's kind of like if they stop playing college football for 5 years and then everybody goes, why are there good no young quarterbacks in the NFL? It's very interesting. The social media platform, all people doing podcasts, people doing a lot of radio talent, people who can communicate with people, are being found in new technologies that aren't radio. Mm-hmm. And then you bring them over and let them put that into a radio space. You bring them in and put them in a radio application. I don't have them back selling songs with call letters saying that was, this is, that's not where they're going to excel. But they're creating things, and we see this through YouTube stars and all the different things. There's no reason why that can't be taken and brought over to the biggest mainstream platform we know, which is radio. And there's several people, Phil Becker, who works for Alpha up in Portland, found an amazing talent for a night show for a CHR who had never even seen a microphone, but had an amazing YouTube following. And she is a great talent. She just came at it from a different on-ramp. She didn't take the normal one you and I take to get into the business. She drove in the back way and just ended up at the radio station in a very non-traditional space saying, hey, you know, I think this would be cool to play on the radio. And she knew how to connect with people, and that's what we do. So you got to look for them. You got to look for where they come from. They're not going to come every once in a while. Can't call him a kid, but I have a kid named Sean who works for us, who is just, he's going to run a radio group someday, but he's the three of us and the head of a 21-year-old. I almost want to put the kid in a bubble so that he'll never get hurt or bruised or anything, because he's got to stay intact, because he's an old school radio mind. To show you how much so, the day that WPLJ did their last show, Sean had bought a commemorative WPLJ t-shirt and wore it to work. I'm like, you're a beast. I don't want to put you in a museum. But to your point, Terry, we don't get that often. We don't get playing in a production room, making air checks and, you know, can I just do the legal ID on the Sunday morning broadcast, which is how I started, how my brother started. It's a very different on-ramp into how you get into the business. And I think the people that know how to look for that and can break down, it's almost like people that renovate houses. It might not look exactly like you think it is, but you can make it, you can shape it. It's got the bones. I think there's a lot of talent out there that if we made it, dressed it up a little bit for radio, at the same point in time, if you look at great radio, it's changing. It's not the same that it used to be. And I think that's reflective of the times also. So it's interesting where the business is right now. I'm very optimistic about where it can grow moving forward. It's just like everything though, since the beginning of radio's days, if you take everything else and make it support radio, it's a great formula.
Well, we appreciate your time today, and maybe we can bring you back too.
I've enjoyed the time. I welcome the invite at any point. I will be track my IP address. I'll be a regular podcast listener moving forward. I've caught up with most of what you've done to this point, and excited to hear how things progress moving forwards, because it's a great platform we've got here, and I think it's healthy for the business to look at where it's at and how it can be better. I think that's well, always good.
I think that's right. And again, you're working for a large publicly traded company, and to many people that listen to this podcast, you guys are kind of the villains, you know. So, but again, we're here to talk about the changes in radio, and I like your optimistic approach to the future. I share that. I think of all the traditional media, radio is the one that can continue to be around the longest. You know, we know what's happening to broadcast TV stations, and we know it's already happened to print and newspaper, but radio is going to be around for a long, long, long time.
It's neat to get radio people talking about the beauty of our business. It's almost like baseball with statistics, is appreciating where it comes from. How does that apply to today? When you look at the kind of subject matter you guys have, I think it still has the same emotional fundamental appeal. It's just different. I wish we had the kind of listeners that we had in the 60s and 70s that used us for a different kind of entertainment.
Thank you, Chris. This has been a great, great interview. It's just nice to get back to some people that are currently in the business and fighting the good fight.
Oh, thanks, Derek. I appreciate it. We're all kind of standing this one together. We all love what this business is. We admire what it was. Sometimes we reminisce on what it was. But still in its current application, it's in a pretty good spot. And it's comforting to see this early data that shows that radio is in a healthy spot at a point where a lot of people had thought that was anybody even still listening to radio during the most recent days of COVID. So it's nice to see the kind of AQH and reach numbers, you know, still reaching 96% of radio's audience through the change of everyone's schedule, I think is a compliment to people still want to use this. there's still enough people here. We've just got to make the party as good as we can so that the room is packed with folks with radio. We just need to entertain them and make the party as good as it can be.
Thanks to Chris Abrams in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Very nice guy and obviously very knowledgeable about the current radio environment. It's nice to hear from some people who are fighting the good fight today, as opposed to you and I, a couple of dinosaurs that were doing it back in the mid-70s.
Yeah, it's quite a fight now. So anyhow, great guy, great interview. And as you said, let's use a 90-day mark, bring him back and see how radio is truly responding to this catastrophe. Also, people are listening. They're wondering how they can participate. How does somebody get an air check to us, Terry?
They could email it. That's the easiest way. Email to radiowhathappened@gmail.com. That's the easiest, quickest way. And we really would like to have some, there's lots of air checks out there that we can go get of major market stations. We can do that. And we love doing that. Love hearing those guys. But I want to hear some of the small to medium market guys that are making a name for themselves and doing it the way radio is supposed to be done, with local entertainment, local news and information. So if we could, we would like to implore you to send us some air checks to radiowhathappened@gmail.com. Now, looking at next week, Jim, what do we got?
Well, we've got the second part of our interview with legendary Bobby Ocean, and we'll have some additional audio for folks to listen to at that point as well, too. And again, with a little bit of a radio tease, got some great guests lined up, including Charlie Van Dyke. You talk about legendary voices in this business, they don't get much better than Charlie Van Dyke. We'll have him coming on sometime in the next couple of weeks.
When we first started this, you made a comment that people within the podcast industry told us if we could get 500 listens in the first 90 days, that we would be in the upper echelon of podcasts. And I don't want to tout our horn too much, but in less than 8 weeks, we've gotten close to 350. So I certainly feel like we will be at the 500 level pretty quick. So I think that's very exciting. We appreciate all the listens. And we would, again, ask you to share this with other people that you think might be interested in talking, exploring the current, past and current situation with this fabulous industry.
You bet. So join us again next week when we ask the question,
radio, what happened?
City Streaker, X-Rock 80, El Paso.
KLIF trucking through traffic at a 524 mark.
KNOW, with more summer fun than anyone.
89 WLS.
And the hits just keep on coming.
KHJ Los Angeles.